the Blind. Yay! Are we all ready to have a good time? All right. Let's see. Last I heard, it was 24-17 Ducks.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, for our invocation today, this evening, a little quiet. Rowdy group. Good thing we got lots of speakers. Everybody ought to be able to hear this evening. For our invocation, we're going to have one of our own, and one of our own whose roots go back all the way to Fresno.
Wow.
So, for our invocation this evening, Bernice Kandarian.
So sorry for the delay. I had a little technical problems, and I had to get Rob Turner and Gabe Griffith to get me going here. Okay. Well, as Jeff has said, I was born in Fresno, and I didn't realize that Keith Johnson was also born here, and I know there are other of you that have roots that go back into Fresno. Our speaker yesterday that was talking about the history stopped her history right where my family history began in Fresno.
Oh, yes, please. Thank you.
Since I'm going to take a moment here for a little personal privilege to give you a brief history of the Armenian religion, and that is that King Tiridates, that's Tiridates, was king of Armenia, and around 300 AD, he had some mental health issues, and his friend Gregory helped him to restore his health, and as a result, Gregory became known as the Illuminator, and King Tiridates Gregory introduced the king to Christianity, and as a result, the king created the he dedicated the Armenian nation as the first. He declared Armenia as the first Christian nation. The church in Armenia was established in 301 A.D.
My goodness.
Gregory became known as the Illuminator, and ultimately was knighted, was sainted. So he became Saint Gregory the Illuminator, and the Armenian church that's in Fowler is that name, Saint Gregory the Illuminator. And Al Gill should know that one, I think. The church across the street from the hotel was the second Armenian church in the Western Prelacy, and it was established in 1900. It was when I was a little girl living here, it was always known as the Mother Church, or the Holy Church, or the Red Brick Church more commonly, but I finally found out the real name. It's the Holy Trinity Armenian Apostolic Church.
Your invocation.
I wanted to give you a little flavor of the Armenian politics took place then and are happening now. In 1915 to 23, there was a genocide, and a lot of people fled the country of Armenia, and they have political parties like we do in the U.S., and one was called the Tashnags, and one was called the Rumgabaz. They have recently established a historic commission between the Turks and the Republic of Armenia, and two-thirds of the Armenians in the world are against this commission, but the commission has been established to settle the issue about whether the Turks did commit the genocide. Okay, I'm going to skip down here. I just wanted to say that my father's name was Aram, and he went by the name of Harry. And I asked my aunt a few years back why they had American names, because I thought the Armenian names were so pretty. My aunt was Nazlı. She went by May. My aunt Ahavni went by Francis. My uncle Ardashes went by Art, and my uncle Al went by. Armanag went by Al. And she said it was because of discrimination. And I was very shocked to hear that. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessing on this Diamond Jubilee celebration of the founding of CCB 75 years ago here in Fresno, and for the wisdom of those members like our founder, Newell Perry, Bob Campbell, George Fogarty, Dolly Glass, and our dear Kathy Skivers, who have helped guide this organization through advocacy and service, which is so central to all of our lives. Thank you for bringing us back to Fresno for our rededication to the work that still lies ahead. Bless the fellowship of this banquet and bless this food of which we are about to partake. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bernice. Great. Okay. Now I'm going to introduce the MC. And you know, a lot of you think you know a lot about Al Gill, and you do. He had an incredible career in the Department of Rehabilitation. But he also did some other things first, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about that career. Not too long, but just a little bit to give you a flavor of the Al Gill before rehab. You know, immediately when he got out of the School for the Blind, you know, I think it was Bob Campbell, right, Kathy? Was Bob the one that always got these guys jobs?
Could I have both?
And yeah, well, he got one for Al, and he got one Al wanted to live over in the city, he liked it over there, and he got Al was going to assist the cable car driver, and he became the first semiconductor.
Oh, no.
Yes, indeed. Intel's got nothing on Al. But then Al went to law school. I don't know where, but somewhere. So he probably just read the law like Abe Lincoln did. And he became a lawyer, and he decided he was going to do some, you know, work, you know, for justice. And he moved to Philadelphia and became a Philadelphia lawyer. And he decided he would, one day he was driving through Texas in his sports car. So he learned to drive, I don't know, I guess the School for the Blind probably. But wherever. So he's driving through Texas, and he gets at about 100 miles an hour, and he gets pulled over by the rural sheriff. And so the sheriff says, well, this is going to cost you some money. And Al's thinking, you know, I'm a lawyer, and I know more than this guy. So he says, look, he says, what do you charge me with? He said, well, you didn't stop at the stoplight here. And Al said, well, wait a minute now. If I can prove to you that I'm not guilty, would you let me off? And he says, well, of course. And he says, okay. He says, I did slow down, right? And he says, well, yeah, you did a little.
Oh, yeah, you can.
And he says, stopping is just one form of you know, slowing down, so I should really get off. And the sheriff says, okay. And the sheriff takes out his nightstick, and he starts beating Al over the head. And he says, well, what would you like me to do, Al, stop or slow down? So then, you know, Al's law career, I guess, to knock some sentence into him, and he got out of the law, and he decided he was now going to go back to school and get his rehab degree. And he decided at the time that he was kind of frisky, and he dyed his hair blonde, and he needed some money to go to school, so he sold his sports car. But he wanted to get more money for it and had a lot of miles on it, so he said, gee, what do I do? Talk to his friend. His friend said, well, I got a friend who's a mechanic. I'll turn that odometer back from 210,000 to 40,000. And Bob and Al said, oh, that's great. That's great. He said, so, you know, they turned it back, and the guy said, hey, how'd you do on selling the car? And Al said, gee, I didn't sell it. It's only got 40,000 miles on it. So there you go. There's the career in the past of Al Gill. And now we'll hear some of the future of Al Gill from him, Al himself, to introduce the head table and conduct this banquet, Al Gill.
Thank you, Jeff. You left one thing out that I learned how to get even. It's a pleasure to be here for the 75th anniversary here in Fresno, where I grew up. My folks had a farm in Fowler, and my sister, who's here tonight, and her husband also live in Fowler. They're not at the head table, but I'm introducing them anyway. But here at the head table, starting from my left and going toward my right, is our invocation person, Bernice Kandarian. And immediately to her right is Roger Peterson. And immediately to his right is Kathy Skivers. Immediately to her right is going to be our banquet speaker for the evening, Paul Schrader. And we've heard a lot from the attorneys from Berkeley, and she's to Paul's right, Lainey Feingold. And to her right is, he's the president of the CCB, and I can hardly remember. Oh, I know. Yeah, I remember now. Jeff Tom. And then to his right is Leslie Tom. She's the first lady of the CCB. And then Al Gill. And to my right is my better 9/16, Connie Gill.
Barely better.
To her right is the ACB president, Mitch Pomeranz. And to his right is the first lady of ACB and every organization in this country, I think, Donna Pomeranz.
I don't know what that means.
The last two people at the head table are our Fresno hosts and hostess. First of all, Tom Randall. And their end is Mary Beth Randall. And people said to me, Abby came and says, Al Gill, how did you let yourself get to be MC at the banquet? And I said, well, I thought it over. And then I said, you know, what I'm going to do is buy a whole bunch of earplugs wholesale. And when everybody finds out that I'm the MC, I'm going to sell them and make a killing. You know? But my sister Marie comes from Fowler, and I was raised in Fowler. And it's just a town just south of here, 9 miles south of Fresno. It's a little town that, when I was growing up, never, ever had a population of over 1,534 people. And people said, well, what What in the world did you do in a little town like that? I said, well, there's plenty to do. I said, like, for instance, last Saturday night, we went to the general store and looked at Jake's new bacon slicer. And I said, a couple of weeks ago, we went down to the highway and looked at the new stoplight. So there's plenty to do over there. I just realized I've just been told that this banquet is being streamed to ACB Radio, so people all over the world are hearing this banquet. So let's say a big hooray to the world out there. And we're welcoming you from beautiful downtown Fresno. And for the most of the first half of my life, although my folks lived in Fresno, I went to school in the Bay Area, and I went to the University of California in Berkeley in the Bay Area. And we were lucky because we had the Bay Area Rapid Transit. That's BART. Unfortunately, Fresno can't have one. And I've, as you can tell, I've been gathering some of my favorite Fresno stories. Couple of years ago, I won first prize in a raffle. And the prize was 1 week in Fresno. And somebody asked me, well, what was second prize? I said, 2 weeks in Fresno. I've got to tell you a story about my father, who also, of course, was from Fowler. And somebody came over and they said, gee, Mr. Gill, this sure a nice farm. Is it yours? He said, well, it belongs to the Bank of America and me. Okay. He says, well, I like your car, too. What about your car? Is it yours? He says, well, it belongs to the Bank of America and me. And he said, well, are you a native Californian? He says, no, I'm not. He said, well, when did you come to California? He says, when I found out about the Bank of America. But when Jeff got out of college, he was looking for work. So he went down to the unemployment office, and there was this job. It said, this job is in Hawaii, and it's just, you work only 3 days a week, 4 hours a day.
That's right.
Your salary is $20,000 a week. Wow. You get a house, a car, a private beach. And so Jeff said, that's the job for me. And so he goes to the counter, and he says to the man, this job here, that's the one I want. He says, well, in order to get that job, you have to go to Fresno. Go to Fresno? Why? He says, because that's where the end of the line is. But then Jeff was talking to his counselor before he got a job, and the counselor says, Jeff, I think I've got a job that you can do. It's over at the Wells Fargo Bank. And so Jeff goes down there, and he comes back, and the counselor calls Jeff and says, Jeff, did you get the job? He says, no. Well, tell me about the interview. He says, well, I went down there, and I went riding a white horse and galloped the horse right into the bank and started shouting, hi-ho, silver. And the counselor said, no, Jeff, that's not the kind of loan arranger they were looking for. I've got to tell you about when I was going to college, I would come down to Fresno about once a month to visit my folks, and I went down to the bus station one time to wait for the bus, and Of course, you couldn't understand the guys as the next bus naming for 45, 40, 40-ho, and 44. Well, I was tired of waiting for the bus. So I said, excuse me, sir, but I'm still waiting for my bus to Fresno. He said, oh, that bus left 15 minutes ago. I said, wait, don't tell me that Fresno is 45. He said, no, Fresno is 40.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, it's a tradition at these banquets to tell you about the various donations that the chapters have given. And we even sometimes call and find out if there's anybody else that has any last-minute ones. But we have some donations here that Ed Branch is going to Ed Branch is going to read them and tell us about these donations, okay?
You want this one?
These are all general scholarship donations from the Bayview chapter, $150. From the San Gabriel Valley chapter, $200. And this is a real figure, folks, from the Silicon Valley chapter, $264.47.
Okay, we have one more. I have one.
Jeff has one.
Okay. We have a very special presentation that we want to do now. And in order to...
No, we're not done with the donations yet.
Oh, we're not done. Oh, they tell me we still have more. All right.
More. Money.
Okay. Money is being passed forth from hand to hand.
Okay. I'll do it. Okay. First, I have a donation on behalf of our trustees, Frank and Abby. As president of the Lily Perry Memorial Fund, we try to make every year a donation to the scholarship fund, with education being one of the purposes for our fund. And so this year, the Lily Perry Memorial Fund, which it's a great thing we're doing it this year on the 75th anniversary, since the fund is named after Noel Perry's spouse, we are donating $5,000 to the CCB Scholarship Fund. Now, is there any other chapters that haven't turned in any donations? And if so, just stand up and we'll get a mic around to you and you can let us, you can announce your donations.
That goes for you too, Don Thompson.
Good evening. On behalf of the San Francisco chapter, we took the challenge of having a fall fundraiser, a September fundraiser. We were having ours in October, which we need for our scholarship fund. So in our largesse, we are donating a check for $300 to the scholarship fund.
Thank you. That is great. Okay. Thank you to all those chapters that were able to donate this year. It really does help. Yes.
I have the resolution.
Okay. Okay, now Al, we can go on to that special presentation.
Now, we have a very, very special ceremony here that I'm going to turn over to Jeff Tom to present.
Okay, we have a couple things. First, we have a resolution that Frank obtained for us from local legislator here in Fresno, Mr. Rambula, commemorating our 75th anniversary, and I'm going to have Ed read, Ed or Lily, it depends on whoever's got it, the mic, read the resolution to us.
All right. California Legislature Assembly Resolution by the Honorable Juan Arambula, 31st Assembly District, relative to commending the California Council of the Blind. Whereas the California Council of the Blind is hosting its 2009 Fall Convention in Fresno to celebrate its 75th anniversary of its founding. And it is appropriate at this time to highlight its many achievements and underscore the positive impact it has made in the local community. And whereas, since 1934, the California Council of the Blind has worked tirelessly to increase the social integration, economic security, and educational and vocational opportunities for all Californians living with visual impairments. And whereas renowned as the oldest and largest statewide organization of Californians who are blind or visually impaired, the California Council of the Blind strives to achieve its goals by sponsoring legislation, educating the public about the abilities of persons who are blind or have low vision, advocating with business, education, government, and other civic groups, and officials on behalf of the rights of those who are blind or visually impaired, informing members of the blind community and their rights, responsibilities, and opportunities, and providing direct help to visually impaired individuals through mentorship and peer support, scholarships, loans, cash grants, and other services. And whereas, with a long, fascinating history consisting of a dynamic past, a challenging present, and a long and prosperous future, the California Council of the Blind looks back with pride and forward with hope, recognizing its many accomplishments, yet knowing how much more necessary work remains to be done. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Assembly Member Juan Arambula that California Council of the Blind be commended on the celebration of its 75th anniversary and on the vital role it has played in improving the quality of life in the state, and extends best wishes for continued success in the future. Members' Resolution Number 2213, dated this 31st day of October, 2009.
And all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Isn't that great? Lainey, why don't you describe it, the beautiful frame that it's in.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. It's the word assembly is in gold, and it has a really nice carved gold frame along it, and it has green mounting and a nice green ribbon with a picture of the Capitol, and California Council of the Blind is in really big black letters with a capital red letters for each word. California Council of the Blind.
Okay, that is just great. Now, the next part of this little piece of the ceremony, I have to see if we have it yet. Let's see. That's the problem with being blind, as Kathy has described many a time. You have certain limitations here. I think it's just being brought. While I'm doing that, let's. I'll squeeze in a little hello, goodbye, mahalo to our wonderful visitors who are leaving early tomorrow from Hawaii. Don Thompson. We'll give a hand to each one. Hey, Don. Valley guy himself. Lon DeFilan. And Beth Flamata. Let's hear it for all of them. Thank you for the wonderful door prizes. And most of all, thank you for your presence. Having you here is all wonderful. Okay, we got it? Okay, well, it's still on the way. We're still... banquets don't always happen exactly. They're kind of like weddings. They don't always go just exactly as planned. But it's happening. Okay, what we have here is a... we're all going to have the same type of cake. But up here at the front, I'm going to have described for us a little anniversary cake that we have. And maybe since Lainey's the closest, I'll let her describe that too. She can do the audio description.
I have here in front of me a rectangular cake with white frosting and blue lettering saying, Happy 75th Anniversary, California Council of the Blind. And it has a nice border with blue and yellow and red squiggles.
So, since my wife tells me what a great singer she is, now you get to start leading the happy anniversary. I'm giving her the mic. All right, begin.
Okay, everybody. Now we're going to sing this to the tune of Happy Birthday. It's going to be Happy Anniversary to You. Happy Anniversary to You. Happy Anniversary, CCB. Happy Anniversary to You. Here we go. Ready? One, two, three.
Happy Anniversary to You. Happy Anniversary to You. Happy Anniversary, CCB. Happy Anniversary to you. Hey.
We're getting pictures for posterity here of this cake. This is very cool. I can't let you all look at it, unfortunately. I don't even get to look at it. Okay, I'm turning it back over to Al. Thank you, Al.
I thought that Don Thompson was going to say a few words tonight, but it doesn't look like he is. So I've got to tell you a story about Don. One day he was walking down the beach in Hawaii, and his foot hit this bottle, and when he opened it, the smoke started coming out, and the genie came out and said, "Oh, you have released me. I give you one wish." And so Don says, "You know, I'm tired of flying or taking boats to the mainland. I want you to make me a bridge that goes all the way from Hawaii to the mainland." And the genie says, "What? You know, that's an awfully big order. Come on now. You know, all the work, all the material, the time, everything. No, you've got to wish something else." And Don says, "Well, okay. I wish that I could understand women." So the genie says, "Now, that bridge, do you want it two lanes or four?" Now, all of you who came in, except those who may have snuck in the back, got a nice little trick-or-treat bag, which the Greater San Joaquin Valley chapter got together and prepared for everybody. And we want to thank Mary Beth and Tom Randall and their chapter for being so gracious and hip and giving us this happy Halloween.
There's grumbling at the head table.
I understand that. I understand that Ken and Pam Metz also participated. So thank you to you two also. Well, I'm sure the cake is on its way, and probably some of you have already gotten it. But it's taking a little longer than I thought it would. So I've got to tell you my one last Fresno joke. When I was going to college, I would take the train from Berkeley to Fresno. They can't do that anymore. You have to go from Richmond to Fresno. But in those days, go from Berkeley to Fresno. A guy got on the train with same time I did, and he said, "Now, conductor, I'm a student at Cal, and I've been studying for finals all week, and I haven't had a minute's sleep, so I know I'm going to fall asleep. Now, I want to get off at Fresno, so please wake me up so I can get off at Fresno." Well, turns out that when he did wake up, the train was stopped, the car was empty, and he knew he'd gone all the way to Bakersfield, because that's the end of that train. And, oh, boy, he was upset. He saw the conductor at the end of the car. He goes up back there and says, "You said you were going to wake me up." And the conductor said, "Ooh, you think you're mad? You should have seen the guy we threw off in Fresno." Okay, folks, we're ready to proceed with the program. And the next thing on the agenda is I'm going to introduce Jeff Tom, who is going to read some of the scholarship winners that are present here tonight. And so, Jeff, do you have a mic right there?
I do. Thank
you. All right. Go for it.
I'm going to first take a moment to express the regret that we all have that Coletta Davis, the chair of the scholarship committee, couldn't be here. She had sort of an injury, sort of a freakish thing that unfortunately happened in her garage, and so she is unable to make the trip. They have a great committee, the scholarship committee. I have a couple of members up here at the head table. Maybe they can help me identify them really quick. Leslie Tom and Donna Pomerantz are two of them. Jerry Consler and Jerry Arakawa are a couple more. Vince Calderon, Pat LaFrance Wolf, Martin Jones. Who am I missing? Abby Vincent?
And anybody else?
Am I missing anybody? No, she was the first one I named. Missouri.
Josie
McKinney. How could I forget my own chapter member? And if they did done a really good job, always do a good job, and they really diligent, and I want to thank them for their work. So, excuse me. We have we've given a number of scholarships. Before we do, one of the methods by which we are able to afford to provide scholarships is that several scholarships are given by the Active Blind Group, and we select the winners for them. And here representing Active Blind, which is down in Southern California, and he can say a few words. We'll get a mic out to him if he'll stand up, is John Mavis. So let's hear it for John. We'll get a mic out to him.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the honor to be here and represent Active Blind with this scholarship. But before I start, I want to welcome my friends and all you folks that remember me from years ago and known I've been around for the last 55 years. First time on the microphone. I have Mr. Tucker, Franklin Tucker, with me this evening to represent Active Blind. Also, Linda Keeney came along, and out in the lot, because of a mix-up in the banquet tickets, is my chauffeur, David Levinson, who drove us up here in my 65 Chrysler that I just got restored. The car made over the hill pretty good, and I was real proud of it. It got us to Fresno in about 6 hours. Hopefully now we can make it down the hill back home. The thing you did wrong was by handing the mic to me, because you didn't look at my qualifications. Being a ham operator, the last thing you want to do is give a microphone to a ham. Once he starts ratchet dogging, he don't know when to stop. So that was the first mistake. The second was, I'm a senior citizen, and we like to tell our stories. So the main story I'm going to tell you, I'm going to make it brief tonight. I ain't going to take more than a half hour, but I'm going to tell you a story that is really a true story. Honestly, it is true. I knew the gentleman. I knew how it happened. And this is how the scholarship for Active Blind got off the ground. In 1940, there was a gentleman graduated from a college in Chicago, Illinois, with a business scholarship. He was a partial, so he was lucky, and he found himself a job in Buffalo, New York, of all places. But he did get a job, and he was a shipping clerk. After a college education, going to a shipping clerk. I'm not college material, but shipping clerk, I think I could have done. But anyway, he worked as a shipping clerk and worked his way up to being manager of the shipping. And this shipping company shipped out the mantel places, the screens and the forks and the prongs and shovels and stuff for a fireplace. And he worked there for about 15 years when his vision started getting bad. And all of his family moved to California from back east. He didn't have anybody back there. He was kind of lonely. He said, what am I working for? He says, I've been working here, and I've been putting all my pennies into the stock market. And he said, I got enough money to take care of me the rest of my life. I really don't need this job any longer, and I'm going to goof it up because I can't see what I'm doing anymore. So he moved to California with the rest of his relatives. He had about 7 or 8 brothers and sisters. And he decided to sit at home arguing with the relatives wasn't good enough. Maybe he'd go down to the Braille Institute. And when he got down to the Braille Institute, he met a gentleman named James B. Garfield. I don't know if any of you remember him, but he was an old-timer. And he would run the L.A. County Club. The L.A. County Club was a big, one of the biggest chapters in the California Council of the Blind at that time. So this gentleman's name was Tony Menino. I think you all know him. At one time or another, I met up with Tony. And Tony was really a backbone of the organization because he not only joined the California Council, became president of it before he got sick and passed away, but he also gave a lot of money to the organization. And he got Active Blind incorporated as the, which was the LA County Club, and then he got the California Council also. It was their bylaws and constitution straightened out. So when we had a little dispute with the NFB a few years ago, they wasn't able to do anything with the California Council. So due to all this, Tony's money has been there all these years. It's been for the last 40 years. He is, his scholarship group that at Active Blind have overseen it and made sure the money went in the proper place. They asked for no returns. They just want everybody, the college students, to be able to get up and going. And if they feel like it after they graduated and got their diplomas, a donation back from them to help out the fund would be appreciated. Otherwise, if they don't ever see the money, they're not really worried about it because they do have an X amount of money to keep the organization going. So with that, I'll turn it back to Jeff, Tom, and he can tell you who the three people are. They're each getting $2,500 from what I've been told. There was an offer of $10,000 put up, but only three people requested it, so there's $2,500 per person coming from the Active Blind to the CCB to be passed out to the three that were appointed. Thank you very much for allowing me to tell my story. Have a good evening. Bye.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, so we are going to now go through the scholarship winners, first the five that are here, and then briefly mentioning the ones that are not, and we'll mention where the different funds are from which they get their money, from which they get their scholarships, and we will also, for the ones that are here, read briefly something that they have written to the committee, and just to show us a little bit more about each one, and then we'll hear from them very briefly. So, our first scholarship winner is Justin Harford. He is receiving a scholarship from the General Fund. From 2009-10, he's attending Cal. His major is history. Excuse me. And he writes the following. In an old history of Dr. Newell Perry conducted by the California Regional Oral History Office in 1956, the early father of the blind self-enfranchisement movement explained that before a blind man can win equal citizenship with his sighted peers, he must complete college. This would enable him to articulate and advocate for himself in a coherent and logical manner before a prospective employer or a Congress of representatives. No doubt that Perry had developed this philosophy 50 years prior to his Rojo interview when he was passing the first reader bill in New York, which enabled 11 blind New York students to attend college for the 1907-1908 academic year and many more thereafter. Nevertheless, his words continue to ring true and to serve as a backdrop for my undertaking of college work. After finishing up my BA in history, I intend to continue studies at a graduate school where I hope to earn a PhD in history and to become a professor. Wherever my career path may take me, I want to place an emphasis on international inquiry and understanding. I would also like such a path to exercise my language skills. Justin, congratulations.
All right. All right. Thank you all so much. Thank you to the scholarship committee, the board, and all the members of the council, California Council. You guys are great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Justin, and very best of luck to you. Hope to continue seeing you. Okay, Lena, you got it. That's somebody you need to see. Okay. And here is a name that we all know well, especially Leslie and I, since he's a chapter member of ours. Anwan Yen from the CCB General Scholarship Fund as well. He is attending Sacramento City College, majoring in physics. And I'll read a little bit of what he wrote to us. I chose physics as my undergraduate major because I have a strong interest and curiosity in understanding how matter and energy are interacting around the expanding physical universe by applying complex mathematical calculations and computer-generated models. In addition, upon my completion of an undergraduate program, I hope either to join the competitive job world or enter a graduate school where I can further study and be trained in a specialized field of physics or perhaps other related fields such as chemistry, geology, and biology. My vocational goal is to be successfully employed in an area of physics or an interrelated field. On? Let's hear it for Anwan Yen. Anwan?
Anwan.
Sorry.
How about that? Okay, good evening, everybody, and President Jet Tom. It was just wonderful for me to be here. And one thing I would like to thank the CCB Scholarship Committee for its continued support for my study of physics, which I really enjoy. Anyway, I want to tell everybody good news that a few weeks ago I got a call from the my school supervisor of disabled student services that they really proud of my study. Because I'm the only student at my school taking advanced courses of calculus and all those kind of things. And because of that, to them it's very valuable, and they would like me to do kind of thing that many blind people that my school have not done. They're doing tutoring for other blind students with trouble in math. And they direct me to a blind student who has trouble with algebra, and I went connected to them and working with them. And next semester, they will give me a part-time job for being a tutor for any level of math that any student have in trouble with.
That's great, Twan.
Thank you very much, everybody.
That's the kind of work ethic we like. And that's what makes Twan a good chapter member and a good member of BSC as well. And our next scholarship winner is not only a member of BSC, but today he was elected as secretary, right? Yes, indeed. Marcus Jordan. He's receiving, yes, Marcus is receiving funding, an award this year from the Jerry Fields, who many of you know, the late Jerry Fields, and Raymond Frenchy Scholarship Funds. He is attending San Diego State University, majoring in liberal arts. And he writes as follows. First, knowledge represents opportunities. College will connect me to a vital source of information and open doors. Being educated will make me a knowledgeable person. Attending university will allow me to open an immense amount of doors. The limits I will have will be set only by me. Being knowledgeable will allow me to interact successfully in many arenas. I plan to become an elementary school teacher. Even though my eyes are not a strong asset, I will be a great teacher. I strongly believe a true teacher uses what they have without focusing on what is missing. Teaching is my ultimate dream. Eventually, I will earn my master's in visual impairments so I can teach the blind. Marcus, congratulations. Not very popular guy, is he, around here?
First of all, I'd like to say thank you to the council for letting me receive a scholarship for going to school. And I also want to say thank you to my president, Jacqueline Jackson, who said that I could do anything, even though my eyes are not working as well. So I'm really thankful to the committee to be able to let me continue my dream to be able to become a teacher, no matter what my eyesight is. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcus. And I am corrected by Donna Pomeranz, who corrects me quite frequently. And that Marcus was elected vice president today shows you that I wasn't listening as well as some people were.
Todd, she corrects me too.
I assumed so, but I didn't want to say that. Okay, Sherry Annis, she is also receiving an award from Jerry Fields and Ramona Franke Fund.
What's her name again?
Sherry Annis. Sherry is someone from the Bay Area. She's attending San Francisco State University. I'm sure my wife is going to clap after with that. Master's in visual impairment with a teaching credential in visual impairment. And Sherry writes as follows. My purpose for undertaking graduate work is to have the ability to independently support myself, help my daughters with their school expenses, and give back to my community. I want to teach all ages, passing on the skills of independence and the knowledge base allowing students to pursue a career or vocation of their choice. I have a good feeling of accomplishment and excitement when a student understands a new concept or skill. My desire to teach in the field of blindness and visual impairment is to help fill a need in the field with the shortage of qualified teachers. And no matter where I may move to follow my passion for voiceover acting, for movies and commercials, I will always find a teaching job that supplies steady employment. Along with teaching and acting, I have several other hobbies. When possible, I long for a swim, bike ride, read nonfiction, write poetry, and cook. Playing the clarinet and tap dancing are two hobbies that I would like to learn and enjoy. My guide dog and I always enjoy a spontaneous play. It is wonderful when we can make passersby laugh. Sherry, you're just great. Congratulations.
Thank you to everyone in CCB, the Scholarship Committee, my chapter president from Bayview Chapter, Steve Fort, for writing the wonderful letter of recommendation. Thank you to everyone. I'm a career change. I was a stay-at-home mom for years, raised two daughters, and now I'm ready to make up for lost time. How I'm going to manage two careers, I don't know, but I'm having fun figuring it out on the way. And eventually, I'm also now having thoughts of going to UC Berkeley for a PhD in special education.
Whoa, all right, Sherry. Excellent. Okay.
Yeah, my advisor the other day said, one step at a time. Thank you.
President. Tell them you're a new president.
Oh, yes, I'm also president-elect of Bayview Chapter.
Whoa, yay! Congratulations. Yay! Don't let that Kathy Skivers wash around either now. All right, that is excellent. Okay, now, you know, Gabe, you were commenting on my English today. Well, apparently my math isn't any better because my wife informs me that four that we've done plus two that we haven't done do not equal five, as I intimated. Okay.
State's got you working on the budget, dude.
Yes, I did the budget. That was the problem.
That explains a lot, Jeff.
Jeff, are you getting from the bottom of the deck again?
I didn't have a full deck, I think. Was the problem. Okay. Paul Patchy II. Paul is attending, and a great guy, by the way. Paul's attending Sacramento City College, majoring in general education. My name is Paul Patchy. I realize it is difficult to enter the workforce these days. There's a lot of competition for few jobs, and I know I must stand out at a higher level of knowledge in order to compete for one of those jobs. I would like to continue taking courses to improve my reading and writing skills. I'm working toward a general education degree to enhance my abilities. I would like to work in the field of visual impairment and blindness, as I feel I have much to share and to teach in living skills, recreation, and adaptive sports. Paul, congratulations.
I want to start by saying thank you. With college comes a lot of stressful points, and one of them is finances. And the fact that you are willing to sponsor me, to help me through college and beat that stress point is great. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul. We've seen this gentleman grow up, and he is a tremendous individual. Thank you. Okay. We're now to our last but not least of the people that are here this evening. Yes, number six, don't remind me. Amy Pitchforth, and she is one of the active blind winners. And now they know. She's attending Loma Linda University, going for her PhD in clinical health psychology. And Amy writes as follows. When deciding what to do with my life, college was never debatable, because I always knew that I wanted to make a difference somehow, somewhere, and for someone. I chose to go into psychology because I could identify it with an individual's story or the human experience. Since psychology is a big field with many opportunities, I chose clinical health psychology due to my own experiences in life and the opportunities that health psychology has to offer. I can remember so many times being in a doctor's office or hospital, surrounded by people and their jargon, with no one helping me to understand what was going on. I've come to realize that there are many people who could use and advocate to help them to understand, take control of their disease, disorder, or disability. I am drawn towards helping people cope, understand, and live with their health problems because it requires me to share of myself in an empathetic and passionate way that most other jobs do not require. Most importantly, psychology allows me to help and give others skills to help themselves and impact others, even after leaving my office. Amy, congratulations.
Thank you, really. I really appreciate this opportunity because, like everyone else, school is a challenge, and going to a private school and getting a PhD is more of a challenge. So I really appreciate the opportunity to continue to pursue my goals and my ambitions and my passions. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Amy. Okay. I'm going to briefly read the other students that won awards. An entering student, Stephanie Ann Bauer, who is going to Ventura Community College. And she is seeking at this point, ultimately, a PhD in social psychology. A little ways to go. Lower division, Daniela Cerillo. And she is attending the University of Arizona, majoring in linguistics, Spanish, and foreign relations. Sophia La, and she is attending Golden West College, majoring in occupational therapy. Harrison Greenius, and he is one of the active blind scholars, and he's attending Cal, majoring in business. Heather Woolsey, a several-time scholarship winner, and also this time winning an active blind scholarship award, attending Cal State Northridge, majoring in graphic design. Adrian Brokaw, and he is also an active blind scholarship winner. He is attending Cal State LA, majoring in business administration with an emphasis in finance. Graduate student, Rodolfo Leva, And he is attending, listen to this, guys, King's College in London, England. Wow. Majoring in a PhD in sociology. And finally, back on this side of the pond, Gary Stamps. He is attending San Francisco State, and he is seeking a master's in rehabilitation counseling. So thank you very much for listening, and let's give all our scholarship winners a fine hand.
All right, gang. Moving right along. I want to interject here that it's really wonderful to be here with all the CCBers and all, especially my nice friends from the Sacramento chapter where Connie and I were members for quite a while. One of those is here. At least she said she was going to be here. Is Linda O'Neill? Are you here, Linda? She's here. She's here with her brand new guide dog, by the way.
She missed the book prize today.
And she told me yes, and she said dogs know math. I said, wait a minute, hold it. Yeah, dogs know math? I don't believe that. She said, well, if you don't believe it, put 3 doggy treats in your pocket and only give your dog 2.
They can add. That's cute.
Okay. Artist Basin, you're up next. So can you come up here and...
Lily's going to go to her. Artist and Lily are going to handle it.
Oh, Artist and Lily. Okay.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah, they got it. They got it handled.
The ACB Membership Committee last spring decided it wanted to give out some very special certificates to some members of CCB who have made some donations to CCB as life memberships, and they had never received any certificates for that, and so we decided this was an opportune time at our 75th anniversary to give each one of those a special certificate. And I'll let Lily take care of the reading of the list, because they didn't have it in Braille. So.
Oh. Ooh. Oh, don't boo me. Oh.
So.
I blame it on the email errors. Yes, it's the emailing. Or that. All right. These are certificates for each of the lifetime members. They are on a nice parchment paper with gold gilding around the edges. We do have it in Braille for those of you that read Braille. So don't give me such a hard time. Yes, I just don't have the list of names in Braille. All right. The certificate reads as follows. California Council of the Blind, on its 75th anniversary, presents this certificate of lifetime membership to, recipient's name, in sincere appreciation, given this 31st day of October, 2009, Fresno, California, signed Jeff Tom, president. The recipients are as follows. Oh, please stand when your name is called so we can bring out your certificate. Beatrice Bell. Paul Borelli Jr. Foster Brown. You're here somewhere. Michael Brown. Laura Lee Kastner.
Lori Kastner.
Michael Kastner.
Mm-hmm.
Mercedes L. Chang.
Oh, Mercedes.
Yeah. Anthony Chin. Chris Gray. Yeah. Audrey Hebner. Jacqueline Jackson. Yeah. Philippe Jacques, no. Alan Jones, Dr. Martin Jones, David Keith, Mike Keithley.
$200.
Tom Kellis, Ethel Kirtley.
Oh, yeah.
Gerald Consler. Lynn Laird. Jacqueline Mahoney Tyson.
I don't think they're here.
Mahone. Karen Mahone Smith.
You always have
Doug this. Martin. Really?
You get a thank you for sure.
Sandra.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That wasn't Doug Martin, though.
Gene Murphy. Or Jill O'Connell.
Hi.
Mitch Pomerantz. Yay. LaRue Reeves.
Who?
Who?
Who? Say again.
LaRue.
Oh, LaRue.
Cecile Roche. Donna L. Sanchez.
Yay! Yay.
Lillian Scaife.
Yay!
She'll get her, so.
Peter Schellen. Abby Schumann.
Yay!
Put her on the lawn.
Lucinda Talkington.
Yay!
Jeff Tom.
Yay!
Mr. Frank Welty. And last but by no means least, Charlene Wills.
So you actually. Okay.
No? All right, now we need to get Ed and.
Oh, that was just great.
Lily over here.
Okay. I'm going to turn the mic right now over to Jeff Tom.
Okay. Lily, are you over here?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You want to come over, please?
Thank you.
Okay. You do? Okay. I'll let you read. About 10 years ago, we had a little vacancy in the office, and Kathy, I guess, took the Greyhound bus and picked the first guy up off the street that she could find. And he's still with us. This gentleman has done so much work, I'm not going to even describe all that he has meant to CCB. We want to honor him today for his 10 years of service. So I'm going to have Lily McRae read this nicely framed, she can describe it, certificate that we're presenting to our own Ed Branch. We hope we surprised him. We'll see.
I think he was genuinely surprised. I pulled the wool over. Here we go. This is a mahogany frame with gold detailing. It has a beige-ish mat. Inside, there's a gold-gilded frame around the actual certificate. California Council of the Blind recognizes for 10 years of outstanding service and going beyond the call of duty, presented in appreciation to Ed Branch, Administrative Assistant, California Council of the Blind, given this 31st day of October, 2009, Fresno, California, Jeff Tom, President.
All right. Thank you, Ed, for all that you've done. I don't know.
Wow. All I can say is the best bus I ever caught. And if God's willing and my health holds out to make a few more conventions, I'll stay on the bus, okay?
Okay. That's great. Okay. Al, back to you.
Is that it?
Back to you.
Okay.
Next, we're going to have Kathy in the awards committee. But before that, I need to tell you about a little thing that my stories aren't always true, by the way.
No.
You may have noticed. Several years ago, of course, my wife and I and our son got together with my sister Marie and her husband and her son, and we all decided to go on a vacation together. So we went to this hotel right on the beach there. Well, with the three people in a room, it made intimacy just a little, no, not a little, it was just darn right impossible. Well, after a while, the urge got to be larger, pretty big, so we said to our son, now son, your mom and I are just awfully tired, we need a little rest, and we're going to have you go out in the balcony. You let us know out on the balcony there what you see. So our son starts saying, hey, I see some kids playing volleyball. They're having a great time. And then he said, oh, whoa, oh, and there's a grass fire over there. And then here comes the fire department. They're coming to put it out. Aunt Marie and Uncle Vernon are having sex. And I said, oh, whoa, wait a minute. Hold on. That was too much even for me. I said, what makes you say that? He says, well, because I just spotted Cousin Danny on the balcony. Kathy, are you ready?
Boy, those Fresno beaches are really something else, aren't they?
Al, you asked me if I'm ready, but you didn't tell me for what.
You know, in our... In working on our history things, we found out a lot of interesting things, and I'm going to take just a minute to mention a couple to you. At the same year we started, there was a place that started that had a great membership, but they had a way of being sure of bringing in members. They were founded in 1934, and they called themselves Alcatraz.
Very good.
They kept it too. The average wages in that year were approximately $1,600 a year, and the average house cost under $6,000.
Wow.
The first presentation of radio dramas came on with Lone Ranger and Superman. A gallon of gas costs 10 cents, and a pound of hamburger, 12 cents, a loaf of bread, 8 cents.
Wow.
And I bet you think that's enough of that, and so do I. Somehow, in giving our history presentation, we left out the most important thing that we should have said first, second, and always. Back in 1984, the Associated Blind of California that you heard about, that those of us who departed from CCB and made the first American Council affiliate, merged with CCB. The family got back together, and that's the most important thing we did. The California Council had not had any affiliation since 78 to 84 with either of the national organizations. So when we united became an ACB affiliate, and we think we're the biggest affiliate. And they made a unification song and had a beautiful unification ceremony. Lee Jenkins, wife of Alan Jenkins, wrote the words, and John DeFrancesco, music teacher at the School for the Blind, taught a chorus, and many of our members were in it, including Al Gill. And he directed them in singing this, and unfortunately, we do have a copy of the tape, but it's been temporarily mislaid.
Oh.
And as soon as it's located, you'll get a chance to hear it. And if it isn't located, some people in my family who helped me clean my house are going to hear it.
You before I get into what I'm here really to do, I want to say that it's wonderful to have Ed with us for such a long time. He was my right hand, and he still does more for me to help me with all the various projects I'm in than any of you could ever imagine. I also am always happy to see Mary Lou and Pinky. God bless us when he gave us these kind of people. And I'm going to tell you, he blessed me with some other things. I've got the best kids in the world, and two of them are here tonight. Been helping all weekend. Awards are usually given in the spring, but someone we wanted to give a Distinguished Service Award to wasn't available at that time. This award's given to someone who really is an outstanding person, and he's done something, or they have done something outstanding for CCB, or an individual, or an affiliate. Anyway, we've selected someone who happens to be a member. The first thing I ever heard about him many years ago was that he always looked like he just stepped out of a bandbox. For you younger people who don't know what that old expression means, it means he dresses appropriately for all occasions, and he's articulate, likes to tell it how it is. He has served in many groups for the blind in many offices. I don't know of any service office he hasn't held at some time or another. One of my papers slipped. You almost got the end for the beginning. He has advocated tirelessly for better opportunities for blind and visually impaired people. While he's done this in all areas that are of concern to us, his main focus and thrust has always been employment for the blind. Many conferences and seminars have benefited because of his participation. Not only does he talk about jobs, he has been an example. He's proved that you can hold it, get a job when you're blind and keep it, too. He served at his last place of employment. Whoop, I'm off.
Real quick, we're adjusting you real quick.
Excuse me, I'm being adjusted? Boy, everything happens to me at these affairs. For those who missed that, I was getting adjusted. That's why I paused. He served in his last place of employment for 34 years. Here's a hint. He worked for the city of Los Angeles. And in his work for us, he reminds us that you can disagree without being disagreeable. Another hint. He retired not long ago. At least he thought he did. But we decided he wasn't going to get away with that, so we got him another job, found him one, not like the one he had. He works lots of hours, does lots of talking, does lots of traveling, and oh yeah, there's no salary attached to this job. Doesn't come with a salary at all, but he puts as much into it, what he does now, as he ever did before. You probably don't need any more hints, but his dog is named after the only drink he doesn't drink, which is scotch. The awards committee is so pleased and so proud to give this Distinguished Service Award to someone who was at one time president of this council and now is the president of the American Council of the Blind. So, Mitch Pomerantz, congratulations. Eric Skivers, will you come forward, please, and read Mitch's plaque to him?
Am I on? Yeah. Good evening, everybody. Okay, I'm going to read this plaque. It's a beautiful plaque. It's black. I'm not sure what it's made of. It's beautiful, but the writing...
You're not on now.
I am. I'm going to stay close. Okay.
Whalebone.
It's whalebone. That's what I thought. It's beautiful, though. It's black, and the writing and the border are both beautiful gold, and it reads as follows. California Council of the Blind Distinguished Service Award to Mitchell Pomerantz, who has devoted much of his life to advocacy for employment of people who are blind and visually impaired, serving as a leader of the blindness community on the local, state, and national level, rising to the presidency of the American Council of the Blind, and functioning as a role model and policy leader nationally through his 34 years of employment with the City of Los Angeles, culminating in the position of ADA coordinator, presented this 31st day of October 2009 in Fresno, California. You go, Mitch.
Well, I didn't know. And I just asked Donna, did she know? And she did. And it, now turnaround is fair play, because those of you who were at the 2008 convention, I managed to get her a life membership award, and she didn't know about it, and that's not easy. So I guess we're now even. Ladies and gentlemen, this organization has been really my life's work. Yeah, I had a career with the City of Los Angeles, but if I had something to do for CCB and it happened to have to get done during working hours, well, it got done. I retired from the city on January 2nd, although there's an expression that work expands to fill the available time. So the only difference, really, as I tell people, is that the coffee that I consume in our home and our home office is much better than the stuff I used to drink at work. And if about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon I want to have a beer while I'm still working, I can do that. And I have. I am deeply honored. I'm humbled. The awards committee, many of the folks there have been longtime friends and colleagues. Kathy and I have worked together for a lot of years. As you could tell this afternoon, we don't always agree. But the joy and the glory of this organization is that we can do that. And we may be adversaries one day, but close colleagues the next, and always drinking buddies afterwards. Thank you all very much. It's a tremendous honor I will always, always cherish.
Okay.
Al?
Yes, Kathy?
Just one last comment to Mitch. We were at a ACB convention when he ran for office the first time, and I was supporting him, and he came to a breakfast that Jeff had purchased for all of us for ACB, and he said, I guess he didn't have to make a speech because he was a member, and we said, oh no, you went to all these other places and caucuses, and you gave your little spiel, you give it to us. Even though we gave you breakfast, you come on, you give us a spiel. So he told us his little bit, and then he said, does anybody have any questions or comments? And it was kind of quiet, and I said, I have a comment. And he said, I thought you would. And then pretty soon he said, well, Kathy and I are friends. We have disagreed at times, but we've been able to disagree without being disagreeable. And I said, Mitch, we never disagreed. You were just in training. And I'll bet that's it for me.
I think I'll always be in training, Kathy.
Yeah, you're right.
Back to you, Al.
Okay, thank you. And Mitch, certainly deserving of that award. Got to tell you about Mitch. He had he was supposed to go to one of the affiliates to speak for the weekend. And in the same city, at the same hotel, Elvis Presley was supposed to be there also.
Oh!
And so the bellman told the manager told the bellman to go pick up Elvis Presley at the airport. Well, when he saw Mitch, he thought that Mitch was Elvis Presley. He says, "Oh, Mr. Presley, I'm happy to see you coming." He said, "Wait a minute, I'm not Elvis." No, come on, get in the car. Oh, okay. So Mitch got in the car, and when they got to the hotel, the manager says, "Oh, we're so happy to see you, Mr. Presley. We're really happy to have you. Now, the bellman's going to take you up to you, but I'm not, never mind. He'll take you up to your suite." So Mitch says, "Look, I tried to tell you." He says, "By the way, Mr. Presley," the bellman said, if you like, well, we're able to provide some female entertainment for you at no charge." So Mitch said, "Thank you very much."
Yeah, that's definitely Mitch, all right.
Our keynote speaker this evening is Paul Schroeder.
Schrader.
Paul Schroeder serves as...
Schrader.
Schrader. Excuse me. Paul Schrader. And I've been saying Schrader all week, all the next few days, so I wouldn't do this. Paul Schrader serves as Vice President of Programs and Policy of the American Foundation for the Blind, AFB. Before joining the AFB, he served for about 3 years as chairman of the government and a governmental affairs committee for the ACB in Washington, D.C. He also worked for the governor's committee on disabilities in Columbus, Ohio. He served on the board of the radio reading service there in Columbus, Ohio. And Paul holds a BA degree in political science and international studies from American University. He lives in Maryland with his wife, Lori, and daughters, Hannah and Leah. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you our keynote speaker, Paul Schrader.
Thank you very much, Al. I was afraid what you were going to do to me. And the night is not done. So, however, for the moment, I have the mic. I don't know. That might be to the relief of all of us. I'm not sure. But I like Al's material. I got to tell you, I'm having a good time down here. This isn't going to make me very popular here, but I have to do a full disclosure. Actually, Hannah doesn't live with us. She didn't run away from home, but she did go off to a certain school in Ohio, Ohio State University, and we're still not that happy about the game earlier this year, and frankly don't think USC's quarterback is all that impressive. So. okay, so here I stood up, and I'm going to invite all of you to do that quietly, because somebody up here said something about porta potties and sleeping bags. I'm not going to tell you who it was, but if you remember where I was sitting, you might be able to guess. This is quite a thing we do. So if you want to go ahead and stand up and just stretch your legs a little bit. I wanted to. While you're doing that. I was on the plane yesterday, Thursday, because, it is November 1st for me, by the way, I really did have to stretch my legs. There was a guy from New Zealand next to me, and we fell into a conversation. I told him I was coming out here to speak, and he had just given a speech to a group of physiotherapists. Now, that's a fun group. Not as fun as this. True. Not, truly not. And I asked him, "So what did you do?" And he said, "Well, you know, we have this tradition in New Zealand. So we the Maori tradition is to say, kia ora. So if you want to, you can say kia ora to your neighbor and shake their hand." And he said, "But then we have this thing called a hungi, where we bend in and touch noses."
Oh, no. Oh.
And then we bend in again and we press noses. Oh, no. And I thought, that'd be a hell of a thing to do at a blind convention. I think we ought to try that. And then I realized that's actually what it is when we're getting elevators at a blind convention. It's sort of a cross between a hungy and a rugby match. When I was, getting ready to get up here, I asked Al for a little bit of advice, and he said, be entertaining if you can. Don't be too long. Make sure you've got a good finish. And then he said, oops, that was my honeymoon advice. I'm sorry, that was... I'm just testing to see if he's got any more material over there when he gets back up. That's because I know my days are numbered. I figured I was safe after he'd already told that story. I knew that was getting on the edge. I have a tendency to go a little close to the edge sometimes, maybe a little over. And earlier in October, I was speaking to a group about video description of educational material. This was a group of educators, and I was talking about how video description got its start with adult content. And I actually hadn't planned this, but I realized, well, I don't mean the porn industry, although had it gotten started with the porn industry, we'd have a heck of a lot more description now, I suspect. And wouldn't you know, apparently, I found out later, there was a nun, honest to goodness, real live nun, sitting scribbling notes real fast in the back. I'm not sure what she was going to do. You know, it's Halloween. Al said he was going to come dressed as a nun, but all he had was bad habits, so. Mitch Pomerantz, my good friend, I love him dearly. He's dressed as the ghost of Republicans past, you know, when they had a heart. That was back when they had a heart, you remember. And he.
Even I can reform.
I think the last 8 years scared the Republican out of him, actually. This is a great head table. All of my friends, Bernice and Roger, have actually known me since college. We shared a reader in Washington, so they've probably got stories to tell that none of us want to hear. Certainly I don't. Yeah, I know. I'm afraid maybe Al has heard them and he's going to come back with them. That's my worry. And Jeff and Leslie, of course, Jeff is on our board, and so he's my boss, and I have to be a little bit careful. Donna, who is a terrific friend. And I have to say, of course, Lainey is a terrific friend as well, and I've been so much pleased to be able to work with her on some of the structured negotiation work that she's done, though she will tell you that I'm probably the worst person to try to get a hold of. Just ask her. Very, very difficult. But I Kathy Skivers, I loved the stories, and I only caught a couple last night. And one of them was her talking about Governor Reagan, which reminded me that, as I used to tell my friends from Texas, can't you keep your damn governors at home? I don't think we're in too much fear of this one coming to be president. Not likely. But did I hear that Jerry Brown is running for governor?
Yes.
I mean, I know that Hollywood is all into zombies now, but for heaven's sake. Okay, I had to cross the aisle. I couldn't just do Republican jokes all night. Apparently Nancy Reagan said that people would be alive if there was a death penalty. I'm not sure what that meant, but I had it in my notes, and I just had to say it. So the I'm going to see if I can try to do something here. I've brought my computer down because I do want to try to do a little commercial plug with the American Foundation for the Blind. Plus, it sets up something I want to talk about. But I'm going to try to do this and talk at the same time and use headphones. And I'm realizing I'm running out of hands, actually.
Yes, I understand.
I'm going to hand the mic over to Lainey for just a second, and I'll set this up.
Am I supposed to tell Paul Schrader jokes right now? Nobody told me. I'm not prepared.
tell Paul that that Jerry Brown invited Roger to join his Facebook.
Join his Facebook. You are a friend.
He's a friend.
All right. So the one of the programs that we run at AFB, and I want to play a snippet of something, and actually the old-time radio comments kind of reminded me of it, is a program called Career Connect. Now, if I can make this work, I didn't set this up with the audio folks, so who knows, it might not actually work for us. But I'm going to play something that we've done. We've been doing these dramas. And the last couple have actually just been audio. We've sort of set them up as radio dramas. We use this kid. He's really talented, from Huntington, West Virginia, where our Career Connect office is located. We do these little plays with different work dramas. And there was one where he was sort of slacker dude, not like the young people we've heard from today who are the scholarship winners, but he was playing slacker dude, shows up to his interview all sloppy and not prepared and not out of a bandbox, did you say, Kathy? Whatever that line was. I don't know. I hadn't heard that one, but I'll probably use it somewhere. So, but this one is a different one. This is about his coworkers, and it just was kind of fun the way we played some stereotypes. I want to play a little bit of it just because I thought it was fun. By the way, if people hadn't sat down, you could stay standing if you want to, too. That's okay with me.
AFB Career Connect, a program of the American Foundation for the Blind, presents another episode of Aaron's Adventures in Employment, Attack of the Co-Workers.
Music's great for Halloween, don't you think?
It is the first day. The first day on the job for Aaron.
We can't hear it.
Get it closer to the mic.
Planning what he will wear, working out adaptation for his office equipment, studying the employee handbook, but his careful.
No. We may not be able to make this work. I don't know that I can get enough volume out of the computer. Let's try this out.
It is.
After the other, with no clear intent or purpose, Aaron is overwhelmed by the onslaught of greetings and well wishes by the co-workers.
Aaron, it's so wonderful
to
see you. Let me take your
chain.
I'll take you right to your
chair. I'm sorry. You remember
Cheryl? Jones, that hot blonde chicken.
Yeah, let's not do it. Let's not worry about it. What I would love you to do is log on to Career Connect and check out Aaron's Adventures, because it's a lot of fun, and because it's a chance to get a sense of what we're trying to do to bring young people into the career force, into the workforce, into our Career Connect work. But more than anything, this particular one is fun because it makes fun of a lot of the stereotypes, kind of turns things around a little bit, and a lot of the stereotypes that sighted people have. And so what you would have heard is a couple of different kinds of workers and their stereotypes. The first one is a very enthusiastic young woman talking about how brave Aaron is and how much it just makes her feel better to have him there in the workforce. Probably my favorite, though, is the one where we get down a little bit further, and I think it's the same enthusiastic coworker. She says something about, you're going to love our office. It's just like that one on TV where, oh my God, that's right, you don't watch TV. I'm so sorry. Anyway, it's really quite well done, I think, and very imaginative, a very fun way of looking at the making the workplace and the attitudes that people combat, a little bit fun. A lot of us have probably gone through something like that. And then in the end, of course, Aaron triumphs, so just so you know, it all works out well. But it got me to thinking as I listened to this radio adventure. A couple of years ago, a colleague of mine and I were talking about, do you remember the video, I think AFB actually did it, we've done two versions, but the old one, the what do you do when you meet a blind person?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it had the scene I always remember for some reason is the airplanes flying, you know, to tell people where the food is. You know, you had that whole, the airplanes at 12 o'clock and 3 o'clock and whatever. So we actually thought that we needed to do the what do you do when you meet a sighted person video. The idea was, you know, to help all of us to understand, you know, for example, how sighted people will ask odd and intrusive questions without really any regard to your personal space. My favorite is we had this whole thing set up where sighted people will grab you or your cane, and the line was something like, it's not necessary to wear a leash, but sighted people will find it helpful if you do. We talked about how the world is full of signs for the sighted, but they never read them and they never know where they are.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
I have a family full of sighted people, by the way, so I love sighted people, just to make clear. Let's be honest here. I want to spend a couple of minutes, not too serious, but I do want to spend a couple of minutes just sort of reflecting on this weekend, as we've talked a lot about history. We are a fortunate group, and we're fortunate because we've got leaders like the folks here at the California Council of the Blind. I had the pleasure of meeting a lot of folks in the council when I started to work in 1991 at ACB. And I believe I was at a CCB, it must have been 93 or 94, when I was out here last for a convention. And it was late then, too, when I was speaking. But we are very fortunate, as blind and visually impaired Americans, to have such a robust organization. We've talked a lot about history over the weekend, and I just want to note that we haven't mentioned, or at least I haven't heard it mentioned, but of course this is the bicentennial year of Louis Braille's birth, and maybe that has come up. But another great landmark in our history. But 1934 and the 1930s, the work of people focused on blindness and vision impairment, was really very focused. Benefits programs, trying to make sure people had money. Specialized training programs, the inklings of and the beginnings of a rehabilitation system. Set-aside programs like the Wagner-O'Day, later amended, but the one that set up the initial workshops, and of course Randolph Shepard. These leaders that thought through, and I could also mention the Talking Books program was just getting underway at that point. Leaders who thought through these programs really had a very focused agenda, but they were plowing new ground. They were tackling challenges that people didn't think the disability community was ready for. And they were bringing independence for those of us who are blind or visually impaired. We're now trying to reshape just about every aspect of our society. We're trying to shape the society to meet our needs in ways that I suspect our forefathers and mothers in the 30s couldn't even have imagined that we would be doing today. Our issues are simply staggering in their breadth and complexity. I was working through a list this week, and I, you know, if you add in all of the different pieces of all of these things, we're well up to 26 issues that we're trying to address. Think about this for a second. Just in the area of books, we're not talking about a set-aside program anymore in the Library of Congress. We're talking about mandating all books to be accessible, and we're close to making it happen. We're talking about being able to share books internationally so that what we advance here in America can also help other parts of the world. In education, we're talking about services and technology and highly trained teachers throughout the country. In health, as we learned, we're talking about trying to change the system to ensure that services are available, to ensure that equipment is reimbursed, to ensure that our prescriptions are accessible, and to make sure that our health information is not only private, but is also accessible. In employment, we're working on accommodations And yes, we're still fighting battles to hang on to the programs set up in the 30s and Wagner O'Day and the Randolph Shepard. We're shaping the economy. For heaven's sakes, we're talking about changing the United States money and close to making that happen. We're changing the retail structure so that we can purchase goods independently, thanks in large part to work that Laney is leading for us. The World Wide Web, the platform on which everyone who has the means and ability is participating, is purchasing, and is getting information. We're talking about and working to make that accessible and having success. We're working to make television accessible. I mentioned description a minute ago, and that's come up. And we're working to make the equipment itself accessible. And we're talking about transportation, not only the issues of access to transportation, but working in common cause with others to fund a robust system of transportation. And yes, we're tackling the car. Sometimes literally, unfortunately. It's possible that we're actually trying to do too many things. I think that's probably true. But one of the values of the American Council of the Blind and of affiliates like the California Council of the Blind is our work to focus, to put things in order, to make the decisions about when we tackle and which strategies we use, and then to amplify our voices and to make our community that much stronger. There's been a lot of talk about the generations. I went to a conference not long ago where they were talking about boomers and Gen Xers and millennials. Now, I'm right at the middle, or right at the tail end of the boomer generation. I sort of consider myself probably a little closer to a Gen Xer, if only because I had to grow up with the nauseating presence of disco in my life. I know. You know, you guys had the Beatles, the real boomers.
Yeah.
Yep, we had Donna Summer. I don't think it's fair.
We had Little Richard.
So we were talking about boomers, and there was this comment about boomers, you know, the group born post-World War II to 1960, 62, 64, whatever. And the fact that boomers are the leaders right now. Might even be true around some of the ACB world. Boomers are the leaders. And there was this discussion of the boomers saying, we can't go because there's no one to take our place. And the Gen Xers are saying, they won't get the hell out of the way and let us take their place. I think we've got to figure out a way to start reaching beyond the sum of the short-sightedness of our intergenerational lack of communication and maybe lack of working together. And I, of course, have always admired California Council for its focus on bringing along young people. The baby boomer generation is a rights-oriented generation, a crusading generation, a justice for individuals. I think T.S. Eliot observed something about the ages from when you're from 50 to 70 are the hardest because you're always being asked to do things and you're not decrepit enough to say no. Generation X, we call them the slackers, right? You know, that group from 64 to roughly 1980 or so. The selfish generation. I know. I'm sort of almost part of it. You know, we're the mediocre generation. I feel a little bit like Salieri and Mozart. Somebody's got to stand up for mediocrity. What the hell? I mean, I'm good with that. But, you know, what do you expect from a group where the movie that you made about Gen X children was Rosemary's Baby? You wonder why we have a complex, right? I mean, come on. So it's a pragmatic generation. I don't think Gen Xers are slackers by any stretch. I don't think they're selfish. I think they're a pragmatic group. I think they're a group that can take on leadership and is ready to do so, but they're going to do it in different ways. The millennials, the one that comes after that, the one that includes my children, a lot of talk about them this past election, the Obama generation. They're tolerant of differences and tolerant of other groups more so than the generations that came before. They're also a dynamic generation. They love to work on larger, complex kinds of things. They're networking people, but they're not necessarily attuned to the politics that the baby boomers found comfortable. And so one of the messages I want to say as I think about what we do for the future for blindness and the organized blind is for the baby boomers to step back for a second and pat yourselves on the back for a bit of well-deserved congratulations. You succeeded. You changed the damn world. Things are different and things are better now because you took the leadership and made it happen. And you should be proud of that. And we should be, speaking for the Gen X group, sort of giving you cred for the work that you've done. And I think you should give yourselves credit because a lot of things, significant things, have improved. We couldn't be tackling the kind of issues we're talking about if it weren't for the work of the baby boomers and if it weren't for the work of the group that built CCB in the 1930s. And so just to put a coda on that, I want to quote from George W. Bush. He's sort of the Yogi Berra, I guess, of your... without the charm or talent, maybe. He said, this might be appropriate, "I hope that the ambitious will realize that they are more likely to succeed with success as opposed to failure." Okay. So I think that's what the baby boomers can take. Because of your success, we are tackling these issues. I think the younger generation is ready, but they are ready to do things differently. I'm not speaking about your decision today directly, but I think the younger generation may not be coming to conventions. They may not do the kind of face-to-face meetings that you do and that you're comfortable with. This is a group that does Facebook, and while sometimes we make fun of it and we say it's a waste of time and whatever, it is also a tremendous organizing tool. I mean, imagine, and I think some of you will remember, that in the 60s, the older generation said, there's no point in doing sit-ins. There's no point in getting together and trying to protest. You can't make any change that way.
Oh, no, we didn't.
Well, you can't say the same thing now to the people who are using Facebook and using Twitter and using blogs and wikis. This is the new way of organizing. This is the new way of making things happen. And they are making things happen.
Yeah, what?
Networked individuals are bringing change at rates that we can't even imagine. And they're doing it in powerful ways that we couldn't have done in the old ways of organizing. So when people ask, what can we do with this generation, don't try to bring them into your way of thinking. Let them evolve. Let them figure out. They're going to make mistakes, but let them figure out how to organize in this new environment. And let them teach you a thing or two, just like you taught the generation before you a thing or two about how to organize. Friends, there are challenges aplenty. Mitch talked about them last night, and they've been talked about many times. The economy is in the crapper. Politics are ugly. It feels like sometimes that savaging human services is done just for sport. There are tremendous needs across our society, and government is ill-prepared and ill-funded to be able to tackle them. But pause for a second and think about this, because I am optimistic. I am optimistic about the future. We are a scant four generations removed from the group that started CCB in 1934. And in that time, look how society has been shaped. We have changed the contours of our communities. We have put signage where it wasn't before. We have put audible traffic signals where they weren't before. We have tackled information access in ways that we couldn't have possibly imagined were possible for people who are blind. And we have a shot at changing currency and cars and things that are so profound that we couldn't possibly have imagined being able to succeed. We have laws in place, thanks to the work that has been done and led by ACB and CCB. We know how to make the laws that we need to continue the work to be done. We have technology that puts information at our command that we never had before. Our voices are strong. The distance no longer divides us thanks to technology. Society is ready, and friends, for me, our time for full equality is now. Thank you very much.
Okay, now we have a lot of raffles that are going to be drawn tonight. So all of you who have raffles, start coming up here and tell us about the raffles, and we'll do those drawings.
Okay, good.
And also the sweepstakes. But I've got to tell you about Paul Schrader when he was younger. He was he was rushed to the hospital with severe burns on each ear, and the doctor said, "Well, now, Paul, how did you get this terrible burn on your right ear?" He says, "Well, I was there in the living room with my mother. She was ironing. I was sitting there by the ironing board talking to her. The telephone rang, and I picked it up, and I felt this terrible burning pain. So I put it down right away, and because the guy hung up, he didn't see it. He hung up already. And he said, "Well, okay, that explains your right ear, but what about your left ear?" He says, "Well, the phone rang again. This time I put it to my left ear. It was the same guy."
Oh, boy.
And while people are still coming up, I've got to tell you about Roger Peterson going to one of the National Blind Conventions. And he and his roommate, oh, boy, they partied pretty late. And they were went back to the room, and the roommate said to Roger, "You know, Roger, the guy next door has a talking clock." And Roger says, "Well, no.
This is back
in the 50s, and they didn't have such a thing." He says, "There's no such thing as a talking clock." "Huh?
Why?"
"Yes, there is, and I'll prove it. I'll bet you $10. Roger said, "You're on." So the neighbor goes, and he starts pounding on the wall. Pretty soon from next door, we hear, "Damn it, it's 3 o'clock in the morning."
Yeah.
He was kicked off.
Okay, I think we're ready to start drawing. Which is going to be the first raffle?
I have the first raffle.
And who are you?
I'm getting there. Good evening, CCB. This is Lena, the new president-elect of Blind Students of California.
I think the Braille is blind students.
I am here with a raffle. There are two prizes to give away. And these prizes are a monocular and Artist Basin's cookbook.
I don't think she knows it's missing yet.
Oh no. Okay. It is in several formats, CD and Braille file, and there is a hard copy in print, I believe. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's
got a bunch of books. Which color tickets are these?
These are blue, I believe, my roommate said.
Pink?
Oh, what?
Are these my pink ones, Eric?
No. Yeah.
Pink. Okay. The number is 149-730. The number, last three numbers, 730.
Looks good to me.
I'd say I have tickets, or are they
Braille? They have Braille.
149-730. Does anyone have that number?
There's no name on this ticket.
No name.
No name, I'm afraid.
Numbers, the last three numbers, 730.
Drogan.
They must have turned in the wrong side of the ticket.
Now, do they have to be present to? Well,
they
have to be, since we don't know who it was. Okay, you better draw again.
All right. The next drawing for the monocular.
Last three numbers are 720.
This time it's 720.
You have to still just draw a redraw.
Do we have a winner?
I think we got a winner.
have it.
I think we have a winner.
That's it. Okay.
Do we have a winner?
Yes.
We do have a winner. Who is it?
Let me. Who? Okay.
Eric
Skivers. Okay,
Eric Skivers. All right.
Okay. No. Hold on.
Give him the cookbook.
Sure? Yes.
He needs to cook. Doggone, Kathy never
okay.
gets any cooking around there.
Apparently, he wants to donate it back. So we draw again.
Oh, no.
Okay, here we go again, folks.
I told you we were going to give it back to
013. Nobody's.
013. Which tickets are these?
Now we do.
Somebody has
013.
Somebody has it.
Do we have a winner?
Yeah. Who is it?
I don't know.
What?
013.
Who?
Is that the right ticket, Mary Lou?
Who did you say?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Roy Harmon.
Our winner, I guess, is Roy Harmon. Congratulations,
yes, that's right.
Roy.
Draw again. We have, guys.
Okay. We have one more to give away. We still have the cookbook.
Draw again. Mary Beth,
you have
draw your tickets right now so when you get started, you've already got them drawn. So you can hear it long. Yeah, but Mary Beth's got all the time.
Yes.
Maybe.
Okay, I have a ticket here for the cookbook.
006.
They're getting lower and lower. 006.
How much? What was the number?
006.
Same person. Who is it?
Same person.
Same person? Oh, okay. You won twice.
I think we.
Who got it?
Hazel. They got them all.
Hazel.
Husband and wife are the two winners of that contest. Does that conclude your raffle?
That does conclude my raffle. I just want to say very quickly, welcome to the new members of BSC, and I hope to see Justin on Sherry, Paul, and Amy as new members in the future.
Yeah. Yay. Actually, Twan is a member, Lena.
And,
okay, I think the Central Valley chapter has a raffle, is that?
Yes.
San Diego chapter.
Oh, I'm sorry. You have to wait a little bit longer, Fresno. San Diego is coming up here with a raffle.
Yes, a 50-50 raffle. We raised $66, so half would be $33. So you may reach in. Somebody? Anybody?
I'll do it. I didn't buy any tickets.
Wait.
Oh.
You don't necessarily have to have been here to get it.
Yeah, you do.
Names on their tickets.
Oh, okay.
What color are the tickets?
What color?
Do
I know?
I couldn't tell you what color.
517.
Does it have a name?
517.
Could somebody slide and see if there's a name on the back?
It says Jerry.
Jerry?
I think so. It's really hard to see.
That would be Jerry Wilson.
It's really hard to see.
Jerry Wilson one.
The Jerry Arakawa or Jerry?
All right. Good job. All right. Okay.
I guess
I guess the first guy with his name Jerry that can come up fastest is the winner.
The immediate past president of San Diego chapter.
Okay.
The other thing is we're selling See's candy, $1.50. Also, one last thing, I want to let everybody know again about the Subak Do group that's at the Blind Community Center, and we're having the tournament on November the 7th in Torrance. 2900 West Carson Street in Torrance. Please come and watch us do Subacto. do a demonstration and everything. It's for the blind.
Oh, okay. Thank you very, very much, San Diego.
Okay,
San Francisco's next.
Hey.
Where are they? Where are they?
Are they not here? There's going to be some, if they don't show up, there's going to be some dead bodies here, I think.
When they said those other names, did they say those parts of, did I understand them that we need to say that earlier?
What? And we'll have to move along, Glenda. We'll talk. We'll deal with that later.
Okay. Okay, Fresno, you're up then.
San Francisco had two, 50-50 and a.
I know, but I don't know.
Alive.
All right. Thank you very much. This is Mary Beth with the first one. Actually, is with Guide Dog Users of California. I actually took the time to draw so we can try and speed things up. And I actually drew the name of Frank Welty. It's our 50-50 raffle, and Frank has won $70. So I am going to entrust someone to make sure that Frank Welty gets this envelope, please.
All right.
That's his raise.
Frank, if you are, would you please stand up? Frank Welty, would you please stand up? All right. If you'll stand up, they'll make sure you're getting your envelope. The next two drawings are from the Greater San Joaquin Valley chapter. And if you have someone who can help tell you that it's a gray ticket, this is for our 50-50 raffle. And that is for $70. And actually, Frank, I'm sorry, you're getting $69. I had the two chapter things turned around. But our chapter is $70, and the last numbers on this one, and I hope this goes fast. 9968.
9968 for the 50-50 raffle. $70.
There's no names, unfortunately. The group didn't do well getting names.
I didn't know who it is.
Too bad.
I hope it's nobody from San Francisco that won.
If we don't get enough after a few, I'm just going to give it up. I'm sure you will. Then the next number I'm going to draw is 0051.
0051.
We have a winner.
I think we have a winner.
And if you'll stand up and give your name, and then $70 is coming your way.
Everybody just took you.
And thank you so much.
Who's the winner?
Who was it when?
Annette Carter.
Annette Carter.
Annette
All
Carter.
All right. That's awesome.
Winner.
So there you go. Congratulations. Actually, of all the, well, we won't go there, but Annette Carter is right here from our area, so there we go. The final drawing is was a raffle for a 15-inch laptop computer case. The laptop case is worth $80, and it's actually a very nice case. Too bad it won't work for me.
Oh, there. These are the
and of course
laptop tickets. For the same or not. But so I know the two are. So.
All right, these are orange tickets, and the last four numbers are 9333.
Mine.
Orange tickets. 9333, is it?
That's it.
That's correct.
9333.
And I am not hearing any happy winners. Looks like we have a winner.
Who is it?
If you'll go stand up and We will bring this
lovely case
to you.
What's your name?
Olivia?
Olivia Presley.
Woo-hoo. Olivia Presley is the winner.
Wow. Okay. And that is all that the Greater San Joaquin Valley chapter has.
Okay, do we have any more guys?
Here we go.
Okay, so now it's time for Jeff Tom to do his sweepstakes.
Okay, I'm going to have Paul Schrader draw our sweepstakes tickets because, well, he's not very unbiased, but we're going to pretend he is. And the third prize is a talking microwave. These prizes will be sent to you. If you win the cash prize, I'll take off a little off the top, and then maybe I'll.
You do work for the state.
Okay.
Biggest cut.
Third prize, talking microwave. You don't need to be here to win. Let Paul draw it.
Paul didn't even get to buy any tickets.
So he wouldn't know if we had any tickets. 1,739 tickets are in that envelope or whatever.
Not a very good chance of winning.
Gail Hardy has won a talking microwave. I don't know where Gail's from.
They don't have to be here to win.
Don't have to be here to win. We'll mail it to Gail.
Do we know where she lives?
Palm Desert. Oh, my God. You know, the person who asked for the cash shouldn't get it, but she did. Kathy Skivers has won the cash. The check will be in the mail at some point.
Take your cut.
Okay. First prize.
Take yours off the top and the bottom.
What's the first prize?
An XM.
The first prize is an XM radio.
Is it accessible?
Yeah. They never are totally accessible.
Yeah. Accessible with an eye.
But good enough for me. I'd be happy to take it off anybody's hands.
Robert from Glendora.
Robert from Glendora.
Oh, that's right.
Maybe it's a knight, because like Robert from, you know, whatever. We can't read the last name.
Robert Bracy.
What is Bracy?
Bracy. Robert Bracy has won. Okay, do we have any last raffles or sweep or anything that need to be done? I think we're done. Okay, Al, you want to...
I'm going to close it up. I just have two more things, because I have one more thing to tell you about Jeff Tom.
Can you sell him a ticket?
Jeff Tom went to a very fancy party, and there he was talking to a doctor that he knew very well, and the doctor was saying, you know, Jeff, when I go to these parties, everybody knows I'm a doctor. They come, and they ask me for advice, and I can't charge them because, I'm at a party and not in my office. Well, how can I handle that? And Jeff said, well, that's very simple. Make sure that you get their names and addresses, and then when you get to your office the next day, send them a bill. The doctor said, oh, that's great. Thank you. Boy, he was all smiles. And so he and the nurse were there getting the bills ready the next morning, and here comes the mailman, and first letter I open is a bill from Jeff.
All right.
I'm gonna close by giving you my rendition of a Greyhound bus ride. Not everybody can remember riding the old Greyhound buses, and how terrible those rides were. I think they put some kind of a drug in the gasoline so that you forgot how bad it was. So that next time you have to take a trip, there you are, right? On first in line at the Greyhound bus station. And, oh, of course, it's always very hot in the station, and you're standing in line there, and people are going by, and they're hitting you with their suitcases. Excuse me. Pardon me. Excuse me. So pretty soon... There is an announcement on the PA system. It goes, "Problems and police in Well, you don't care where it's going at this point. You're going to take the bus wherever it goes. You go out to where the bus is. You're sitting on the bus, and it's so hot, you can hear the metal expanding overhead. So the bus driver finally comes in, and he starts counting the passengers. He goes to the back of the bus. He comes back. Counts them again. 1, 2, 3, 4. Excuse me, folks, but we have one too many passengers, and so everybody has to show me their tickets. Well, of course... this one lady says, "Oh dear, I can't find my ticket. I know I have it here someplace, but I can't find it." Well, they finally realize what it is. It's some blind guy on a 2-for-1 ticket. That's the problem. Also, right behind you, it's never across the aisle or ahead or way back. It's always right behind you. There's a lady with a baby crying right in your ear. Yeah. So finally the bus driver gets on the seat and it starts the bus. And then he goes, we have ran over something. Oh, anyway. Anyway, and then he goes just a little tiny ways and he stops and it's like this.
I want to ride a train. I need a train whistle.
Thank you, everybody, and have a...
Thank you, Al. Let's hear it. What a banquet, everybody.
Enjoy your extra hour of sleep.
Remember, set those clocks back. Be here at 8:30. And thank you, one and all, for coming. I hope you had a wonderful time.